Welcome to the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. God has no desire that you accept the condemnation of others for their failures. You can either accept their accusations or you can manifest the love of God. Looking into the life of the Old Testament prophet Elijah, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, reminds us how to live out our faith each and every day. As we study, we discover that vibrant faith thrives in daily life.
Would you join me for prayer as we get started? Father, thank you for loving us and caring for us. And Father, we pray today that you would encourage our hearts. Lord, we ask you to work in us. We ask you to shape our hearts and fortify our minds and help us to remember how much you love us. Lord, we pray. Teach us from your word. And all God's people said, amen. Maybe you remember it back in 2003 that a New York attorney filed a class action lawsuit against McDonald's on behalf of all the children who had become obese after eating too many Happy Meals. One of the plaintiffs ate at McDonald's 3 to 4 times a week, allegedly causing him to balloon to 278 pounds. Although he was only 5'4". You know the lawsuits against McDonald's and KFC and Wendy's, and it alleges that the company profits from the misery created by their food. And they blamed those companies for the obesity of those children. We live in an age of blame. The simple solution, of course, at McDonald's is don't eat there. But I thought I would start checking this week. And I did a quick search on Google about blaming Christians. What people blame Christians for. Because they're blaming us a lot for a lot of things. And I found this article that was written on March 5th. The gays are blaming Christians for their own emotional and psychological pain. In November 8th last year, that CNN blames Christians for Obamacare problems. And that on February 24th of this year, how Christian conservatives blame victims and let rapists walk free. And on December 6th, the shocking attitudes of Christians toward victims of domestic violence, blaming them. And Christians are blamed for a gay bar rampage in February of 6th. In March of 12, Islamists in Egypt blame Christians for voting. A strange story. In April of 2013, the Egyptian presidential aide blamed Christians for the cathedral attack that was actually not done by Christians at all. Jacob Zuma blamed Christianity for the breakdown of South African traditions in December of 2011. And if I wanted to go back just a little bit further, Nero's fire was blamed on Christians when it burned down Rome in the first century. Folks, we've been blamed for a lot of things, and it's going to get worse as time proceeds. The Bible tells us that in the last days that we become the target of society, that people won't appreciate us, and that people will blame us for everything. And you and I have a choice. On one side, we can accept the condemnation of other people. Or on the other side, we can manifest the love of God. And we can counter that with the truth. We have a choice. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about this choice, living out God's heart in our daily lives. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I encourage you to turn there, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me set the story up for you. There's a king on the throne. His name's Ahab. Ahab's a monster. He's an ungodly man. He's done more evil than all the other kings before him have ever done. Worse, he married a lady named Jezebel. We talked a little bit about Jezebel already. Jezebel's one of those people that even today, very few people name their children Jezebel. because of her wicked evilness, they worshipped Baal. Baal was the sex fertility god of the day. So they worshipped sex. Ahab built a temple for Baal. And in the temple of Baal, in order to go worship, you had to go have sex with a temple prostitute. Sent up an Asherah pole. Asherah was the co-sexual relating god, the female of Baal, the partner, if you will, of Baal, and she was a naked, multi-breasted sexual image, and again, we're down to that worshiping sex issue right there in Jerusalem. No rain fell, no dew fell for years in this nation because God had simply said through His messenger, no more rain, no more rain. And so by the time you get to chapter 18, it's been 3 years of drought. And by the time you get to verse 15, the king himself is out looking for grass for the last remaining horses he has and a few donkeys. And he sends out some help with him, the man Obadiah, who's a prophet. There is a book in the Bible called Obadiah, and you can read about that, him and his words from God there. But in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, we begin to discover that when the world blames you for the consequences of their sin, there are five actions you can take. And Elijah is going to show us how to do that. He's going to show us what to do. When people blame you for their misery, take some time and follow the example of Elijah. Elijah reminds us, we live out the faith each day in a simple way. When the world blames you for their misfortunes, remind them that they're the ones struggling against God. You aren't. You're loved by God. You're loved by God. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and just say that. You're loved by God. You're loved by God. You need to say that, as I said last week, you need to say that week after week after week after week. You need to say that day after day until it gets down past your head, into your heart, and flows through your DNA. You are loved by God. Now, I understand why some of you struggle with that. I understand that you struggle like I do. There are days when I don't think I should be loved by God. But hallelujah that it's not based on what I do, but it's based on His heart. And so the text tells us that as we go back into the story, we see how this was done. Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come. And Ahab went out to meet him. And this is what Ahab said to him. So, it's you, is it? Notice, Israel's troublemaker. Now, it was Elijah who said there'll be no rain until I say there's rain. So Ahab, in one sense, from his perspective, is saying, yep, you're the problem. But again, I want to remind you that Ahab had done more evil than all the other kings, that he had married Jezebel, that he had worshipped the sex god Baal, he had built a temple for the sex god so that everybody else could worship in a sexual, fornicating, or adulterous relationship, and that when he got to the place where you could think that he could get no worse, he decided to set up the women's version of it so that not just the men had options, but the women also had options, and so you could send your wife down to the Asherah pole and she could also worship through some adulterous affair. And Ahab says, Elijah is the troublemaker. Folks, I want you to remember that when people have problems, Galatians 6:7 is often the issue. What you sow is what you reap. It's true for Christians and non-Christians alike. You are where you are today because of what you have done most of the time. Now, sometimes people do things to us. We understand that. But most of all, by and large, harvests come after we plant. We plant into our lives and then we reap them. Ahab asked when he saw him, I've made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. Elijah said, I didn't do this. Not my fault. You and your family are the troublemakers. You've refused to obey the commands of the Lord. You've worshipped the images of Baal. You and I have to remind people that problems... By the way, Elijah was suffering too, just a note. When there's no rain, it doesn't just rain over Elijah. Okay, when God brings judgment upon a people, there's not a little cup of umbrella around you too. We go through it as well. Remember, Jesus left heaven, came down here to live as human, and suffered through all the stuff that humans suffer through. Then He died on the cross for us and He went back to heaven. But while He was here, whatever we're going through, whatever they're going through, we're going through. So if it was the recession, we went through it. Any of you got out of that recession that we just got done with? Anybody? Yeah. You can't, in fact, you were making money. You were making so much money during the recession that you don't even remember a word recession. No, that's not the way it works. Elijah was going through it too, but he was very upfront. It's not my fault. I love God. God loves me. Now, by the way, Elijah had a lot of stories to tell, didn't he? He had stories about the way the ravens fed him at the brook. He had stories about the way the woman at Shunem took care of him. There's story after story after story after story after story after story he had. You have stories about how God takes care of you. You need to share them. Not my fault. God's taking care of me. Not my fault. Listen, I'm walking with God. God loves me. I'm not the troubler. Second, Elijah tells us here that when the world blames you for their misfortunes, challenge them to demonstrate the power that resides in their lifestyle choices, while you enjoy the magnificent abundance of God's provision. I'm always surprised by the way people who blame us have no demonstration of the philosophy of their life in its abundance that they want to pour out upon us. They're blaming us because they're having bad trouble. Well, bad trouble, as I said, is the result of bad decisions. God gives us wisdom. If you'd like wisdom, just read through the book of Proverbs. I remind you, read a chapter a day. It'll change the way you do stuff. Not just what you know. Your knowing isn't growing until your knowing is showing. You got to do this stuff. And when you start doing it, all of the blessings of God start to pour out on your life. But these guys here, they're blaming Elijah, especially Ahab, it's your fault there's no rain. Well, where's the power in your God? Where's the power in your choice? They chose Baal. They chose Asherah. And so Elijah says, bring them all to me. Let's go up to Mount Carmel. 1,600 feet high. You can see from Mount Carmel. You can see the Mediterranean. You can see all the way into Syria and Jordan and Lebanon. You can see way down to Armageddon. I mean, it's a gorgeous view. Let's go up on the top of the mountain. Okay. And bring all of the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah that are supported by Jezebel. We're going to have a little demonstration. We're going to show which God actually answers prayer. And so Ahab summoned all of those people, got them all up on Mount Carmel, and Elijah stood in front of them and said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now, one of the things you may not catch here real quickly, but it's very clear as you read through this slowly, is that these people were actually worshiping both. They were worshiping Baal, and they were worshiping Asherah, and then they were worshiping the Lord. So they had the best of both worlds. They were living this choice of sexual immorality, and they were claiming to be a follower of God. And as you know, and if you've read the Bible carefully or you're reading it through now, God don't go for two-timing. God ain't into polygamy when it comes to gods. He's not into that. Now, I want you to notice there was a challenge. Pick one or the other, and notice what the people did. Let's read that aloud. But the people were completely silent. This ain't going over, okay? You can always tell when the message isn't going well. It gets real quiet, okay? Message ain't going well here. And then Elijah said, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left. Baal's got 450 prophets. Now bring me two bulls. So we're going to get into a demonstration. I'm going to show you my God answers, and then we'll see if your God answers, okay? The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood on the altar, but don't set any fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood in the altar, and I won't put any fire on it either. And then You call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of mine. And here's the bottom line. The God who answers. The God who answers. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. Everybody said, love it! This is going to be good. You can see some vendor out there. See, if he's in my neighborhood, he's going, tamales! Tamales! You know? Or if you're in another neighborhood, the guy's coming out with he's got his shaved ice cart, you know? This is going to be great. We're going to have a crowd. People start gathering. Word spreads around. Of course, there aren't any cell phones, but had there been, people would be texting. CNN would be there if there had been those days. I mean, this is going to be a show. Now, I want you to notice something in this story. I don't want you to miss this. God wants to show off for you. God wants to show off for you. He wants to demonstrate He's greater in power than any God on earth. He wants to show off for you. So then, Elijah shows us that when the world blames you for their misfortunes, feel free to mock the empty delusions of a life without God, since your experience and you enjoy this God presence in your life. Just feel free to do that. Just mock them. Now, I shared with my class on Thursday that this is the point that most people have troubles with. Okay? Mock them? This is the part of the story that gets the most ink. The most ink. And so Elijah comes, watch this. Elijah says, you go first. There are many of you, only one of me. Choose one of the bulls, you pick it, prepare it, call on the name of the Lord your God, but don't set any fire to the wood. Okay, don't set any fire to the wood. Oh, so they prepared one of the bulls, and they placed it on the altar, and then they called on the name of the Baal all morning, shouting, oh Baal, answer us! But I want you to notice, there was no reply of any kind. That must have been frustrating. So when that didn't work, then they danced wildly around the altar. Okay, going crazy. Read the underlying portion with me. We've had a couple hours of this nonsense. Read it with me. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. Now, just in case that you say, well, maybe you misunderstood that. No, we've actually got the things he said. In fact, this is what he said. You'll have to shout louder. He's a god. In other words, he's far away. Shout louder. Hey, Baal! Baal! You can see them, 450 of them jumping up and down, shouting around, okay? Perhaps he's in deep thought. Do you ever get focused? Maybe Baal's focused. Or worse, like at my house, the door's closed. He's relieving himself. Now, I don't know where you come from, but that one's pretty scoffy. And then he keeps going. Or maybe he went away on a trip. Who knows? Better holler louder. Or he could be asleep. Baal, 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 wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I don't have any problem with this. The dog next door. You know? Wow. Oh, boy, I tell you, I'm awake all night long. He needs to be awakened. Now, you got to admit, these are pretty derogatory. They're meant to be. We live in a society where we think we've got to be politically correct. All gods are the same. There's a word for that. Theologically, nonsense. And that's the whole point of this passage, is Elijah saying the God who answers is the true God. The God who answers. So they shouted louder. Look at, they're actually doing what he told them to do. And following their normal custom, oh, I love this part, they cut themselves with knives and swords until Oh, I tell you, you guys never do this right with the kids. I mean, we got to get a demonstration out there. You know, we got to be cutting ourselves and the blood's gushing out. When the blood's gushing out, what do we hit? What did we hit? We hit a vein or an artery or something, okay? Blood, because you cut yourself, it just dribbles, you know? Do you ever do this? It's just yeah, it's gory, but I mean, sorry, ladies, the Bible is written by men, for men, to act like men. This is a men's story. Okay, blood's gushing out everywhere. This has been going on for hours and hours. Look at, they raved all afternoon. It's another 6 hours. And then it says, would you read that underline part for me again? But still, there was no reply, no voice, no answer. There was nothing. There's nothing there. Why? There's a simple reason. The number you have dialed has never been installed. There's no God. But Ahab has been believing in this God. He's been believing in this God because his wife Jezebel brought this God to him. And he believes. And his credibility's on the line. Now I want you to notice that they did this all afternoon until the evening sacrifice. It's time now for the biblical sacrifice that God set as sun was going down. And so now we discover the fourth idea, the fourth action here, that when the world blames you for their misfortune, demonstrate vividly the incredible abilities of the powerful and passionate love of God, since you honor and revel in His compassion and mercy. Just demonstrate it. Now, how did Elijah demonstrate it? The first thing he did was he made a public declaration. He said, come here. Enough of that nonsense. Come over here. The second thing he said is, we need to return to worship the way God does it. They all crowded around him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. What was he doing here? Well, he took 12 stones, one to represent each of the 12 tribes. You've got to remember that the nation right now is in civil war. It's broken. Two in the south tribes, 10 in the north. He takes 12, puts, he says, God just sees you as one. God just sees you as one. And in the process, he used the stones to rebuild the altar. And you need to understand that God says, I don't care how far away you've gotten. Remember, the majority of the people, the 10 tribes, were away from God. And Elijah's saying, God says he still wants a relationship with you. You need to show people that God still cares about everyone. And look what he does. He dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. And he piled wood on the altar. And he cut the bull in pieces. And he laid the pieces on the wood. See, this is how you actually do a sacrifice. Not all this jumping around and cutting yourself and all this false God stuff and worshiping with sex. None of that. This is how you do it. God said in the Old Testament, you're going to have to worship this way. And he said, fill 4 large jars with water. Now, remember, it's been 3 years, 6 months since it's rained. Water is the commodity in Israel. And he said, fill them up. And so they do. And then he says the most horrific thing in the world. He says, pour them on the offering. No one's going to get to drink this water. And then, after they had done this, he said, do the same again. You see, we have to make sure that when we're demonstrating that God answers prayer, we have to make sure that people understand that it's God that answers prayer. It's God that answers prayer. And when they were finished, he said, do it a third time. We're talking about 12 gallons of water here at least. Remember, the trench holds 3 gallons. And so they did it. They did what he said. The water flowed around the altar, even overflowed the trench. So now we got more than 12 gallons. 20 gallons. 30 gallons. And so he's pouring this out. And then it was time for the offering. And Elijah walked up to the altar. And he prayed. Now I want you to notice it was very quiet. He didn't, "Hey, Bill! Bill, try to get your attention!" Well, it just says he prayed. I want you to notice that he prayed to the God who would answer. And he asked God to prove that God was God. Look what he says. "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command, O Lord. Answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Last November, I poured an entire cup of Starbucks coffee into my laptop." Some of you remember me telling you about that. I pulled the plug real quick, drained it, dried it. Eventually, after about 2 or 3 days of drying it out, I plugged it back in. It sort of worked. The trackpad didn't work, so I had to buy a wireless mouse. And the battery wouldn't recharge itself. I told my class, the only ones I told my class, I said, "I poured a cup of coffee in my laptop." You know, And I said, "The only reason I'm telling you this is because God's going to do something. And I want you to be witnesses of it. I want your faith to understand what God can do." My prayer was very simple. "Lord, I will get it repaired or replaced, whatever you want." So we took it up to the Apple store. And they said, "To make this Mac brand new as the day you bought it, 2007, will be about $2,300. I said, "Thanks, I'm going to have to think about that, pray about that." Packed it back up, went home. Said to the Lord very clearly, "I will gladly repair it, but it doesn't make sense to me to have a 7-year-old brand new computer in a world that speeds much faster these days. But whatever you want, I'll do." That was November and December and January. In January, a friend, no one knows about this except my class. That's it. My class. That's the only people who know what's going on. I think I shared with you that I'd poured the coffee in, but that was about it. But my class knew something was going to happen. Paul's here to tell you. He'd heard this story so many times. In January, a friend said, "You know, I'd like to send you $1,000. You know, if God's laid it on your heart, who am I to complain? Sent $1,000. I said to my wife, "We have $750 for Mac repair. 10% goes to God, $100. 15% goes to the IRS, self-employment tax, $750. February, he said, I didn't tell him what I was going to use it for. I said, "It's the timing is perfect. Thank you." In February, we just happened to be talking about something totally unrelated, and he said, "I'm going to send you another $1,000. I said to Melody, "Now we have $1,500 for the repair." In March, he was talking to me about something. He was going on a trip and was asking some questions, and I sent him some information, and we're talking back and forth. He said, "Oh, by the way, before I leave, I'm going to send you $1,500. I said, "Okay." Now, mind you, he didn't know anything about the Mac. And I told Melody, I said, "This is amazing." April came around, and he said, "I think I'm going to send you $1,500. Paul's heard all these stories. And sure enough, I had enough money for a brand new Mac. I said, "I guess I know the answer to your question, to my question. You're the God who demonstrates." And so, my wife says, "Why don't you check and see if you can get an educator's discount?" And I did. And I did. And I had enough money to pay for it all. And now I, every once in a while in class, when they're having a little trouble understanding the issue of faith, I just pick my laptop up again, like I did Thursday, you remember? And I just scratched my head with it when we were trying to answer a question of somebody. Hey, that's an issue of faith. Does God answer your prayers? You see, Matthew 9 tells me that God will, as I've told you before, God will give to you according to your faith. And that's what Elijah's doing here. According to your faith. Prove that I have done all this at your command. Just prove it. And then notice what it says. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even licked up all the water in the ditch. God wants to demonstrate Him strong on your behalf. It's up to you and I simply to trust Him like we talked about last week. Trust Him. He will reward your faith. Trust Him. And when the people saw it, finally they went from silence to praise. Okay? Because people are looking for something that works. When they are weary and broken and they don't know what to do, they will go to sex. But what they really want is something that works. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they cried out. What did they cry out? Read it with me. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. That's what this is all about. Who's God? The one who answers. That's who. When people are yelling at you and blaming you for life's problems, remind them. Your God answers. He answers prayer. He's the one who ends. And you need to end the nonsensical whinings of those who misdirect and demean the Almighty God of the universe, since He's demonstrated Himself strong on your behalf. Look what Elijah did. Elijah just wasn't putting up with these Baal worshippers anymore. He had authority that we don't have, but look what he did. Seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all. Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley, killed them there. You can't go around murder people. Please understand and hear that. There's a disclaimer here. You can't go around murder people. Okay, but you can kill stupid lines. You can put to death ridiculous statements. You can say, excuse me, my God answers prayer. Here's what He's done in the past. And that we used to call, for those of you who are older, we used to call testimonies. We have a story to tell. Now listen, testimonies are not something you do in church. They're something you do out there. They're stories you tell out there. Tell them all the time. When I'm at Starbucks getting my cup of coffee, I'm telling the baristas what's going on. They just sit there. They can't believe it. They can't believe what God's doing. God does stuff for us. Now, I just want to catch you with three realities and we'll wrap this up. First of all, faith trusts the heart of God. This is where faith comes from. You've got to trust God's heart. Why? We live out the love God has for us. You need to trust God's heart. In fact, the Bible tells us, Paul speaking, he said, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so the life that I live, look what he says, I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I trust. Second, faith stands firm in the love of God, knowing that God's love produces a fountain of joy. I'm frustrated by people who name the name and walk around looking like they were baptized in prune juice. The Bible doesn't teach any of that. It says, but that does not mean we want to tell you exactly how to put your faith into practice. We want you to work together. We want to work together with you so you will be full of joy as you stand firm in your faith. Faith brings a fountain of joy, but you have to do that with a group of people. You have to get out of your comfort zone and get it with God's people. And finally, faith gains God's approval. Faith gains God's approval. Expressing confidence in God, the God who loves us beyond all understanding. Faith isn't something that you have and it's static. It grows and it shrinks. So what is faith? Well, the writer of Hebrews says it is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. I love that. It's the confident assurance. We don't run around like Chicken Little. We don't have to blame people. Zig Ziglar calls blame being lame. Be lame. Blame. Faith is the evidence of things you can't see. God gave His approval to people in the days of old because of their faith. Elijah's one of those guys. Because of his faith, God gave him approval. Prove! Boom, down came the fire. Today, I'm asking you, do you have that confident assurance in the heart of God? He loves you. But it has to go from your head to your heart, into your DNA. You got to trust Him. And we trust Him by obeying Him, as the last song we sang. There's no way to be joyful if I refuse to trust. Now this all starts very clearly by obeying the commands of Jesus. And the first command of Jesus was to be discipled. To get a discipler and be discipled. The second thought there is that once you're discipled, you're supposed to disciple somebody else. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to take out a card, say, I want to be discipled, go ahead and check that. Someone will contact you. Folks, there's no greater way to build your faith than to grow deep with God through Jesus Christ. There's no greater way. These are tough times. Christianity is being mocked and ridiculed everywhere. On the college campus, in the newsroom, everywhere. You need to take these five action steps of Elijah. Review them. Go over them this week, this month. And you need to put things back in perspective. Our God's the only God who answers. And He answers amazing. When I told Him, I'll fix it, I'll repair it or replace it. Things that are easy for me to remember. Repair or replace, Lord, your choice. I didn't have to tell anybody. It just happened. I told my class, because I can't accept any money from my class like that. I just told my class, watch, God's going to do something. And God did something. Why? Why could I believe that? Because God has always done something for us. It'll be to you, as it is to us, according to our faith. Today I'm encouraging you, trust God. Trust God, He loves you. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell him, God loves you. We're going to take this idea in the next 6 weeks and we're going to really jump into this idea of centering our lives around God. What does it mean to build a heart that actually trusts God's heart? And so in your worship folder I've listed out and summarize the next 6 messages. I want to encourage you to consider coming, bringing a friend, as we talk about how do we actually journey into the very, very heart of God. I'm going to do that for the next 6 weeks. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love and your goodness and your grace and your mercy to us. Your love never fails. It never gives up. And Lord, we are so grateful for that truth. We pray today that we would be men and women who actually look to you, trust you, and tell others, God's about to do something amazing. The God who answers is the God who is God. Father, may we take heart from the word today and from the worship today. May you be glorified and honored and praised. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.
Would you like to help spread the word? Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you for your consideration. If you would like to explore how you can experience the love of God in a deeper, more real way, Dr. Smith has written a book to take you to that next level. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us, by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. This book was written to convince the reader of God's intense and immense love for them, to encourage the reader to reach out to the God who is passionately in love with them, to strengthen the reader's faith in God's compassion, and to motivate the reader to share the love of God with every person they meet. It is very clear God loves people of all races and ethnicities. Therefore, whenever appropriate to the passage of the day, emphasis is made on the issue of racial reconciliation around God's love. His love becomes the motivation for evangelism and for community. In each daily devotional, there is a biblical scripture that they are encouraged to read. There is a passage of scripture to read in the devotional itself. There is a devotional to read which focuses the reader on a single thought, broken into two, three, or four practical ideas they can utilize that day in their lives, and there's a thought to take with the reader each day which summarizes the theme concerning God's great love for them. You can order a copy of In His Image at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, telling you we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.